The manhunt in Charleston, South Carolina might be simpler if people's recognition of faces was as good as computers reading digital images.
We use facial recognition as a tool to help us understand these foreign intelligence targets we work. Counterterrorism is another big area. This has probably had more impact for us in the counterterrorism arena than anywhere else.
That's Admiral Mike Rogers, who heads up the NSA and the U.S. Cybersecurity Command. He doesn't like to talk specifically about facial recognition software in public, which is one way the NSA is quite different than, say, Facebook. They love to talk about it.
Okay, let's say you're somewhere with friends, like a road trip or wedding or a night out or just hanging on a typical Saturday. Well, now there's an easy way to give your photos to friends, get their photos, and collect them all in a single private place. It's called Moments.
The Facebook feature called Moments organizes your photos based on date, time, and using facial technology tells you who else is in those photos. It lets you sync your photos with your friends so everyone can see the highlights of that great night out. So could I search for your face and get images of everywhere you've been that's been posted online for the past decade? It's those kinds of questions that have motivated a broader discussion about how and when and where facial technology should be used. This week, 9 privacy advocacy groups announced they had reached a complete impasse in talks with trade associations held under the auspices of the U.S. Commerce Department. The trade associations represented commercial and social media interests. Alvaro Bedoya is executive director of the Center on Privacy and Technology at Georgetown Law, one of the consumer groups declaring the impasse. How sensitive is this facial recognition technology issue, Alvaro?
It's extremely sensitive. Facial recognition technology can be used to identify you by name, in secret, and from far away, and you can't do anything about it. You know, you can change your password, you can change your credit card, but you can't change your fingerprint, and you also can't change your face unless you go to a lot of trouble. And so we put forward a simple rule, John, that said, if you are a company, you can't use facial recognition on people without getting their permission first. And not a single industry association, not one, would agree with that simple rule. And that's why we walked out.
Some groups call this technology face print. That's how declarative it is in terms of being able to identify people.
That's exactly right. And so a face print would be directly analogous to a fingerprint. You know, you leave your fingerprints everywhere and you quote unquote, leave your face everywhere you go on every camera. And the way they're different is that you know what you touch. But I'd be very surprised if you told me that you kept track of every single camera that saw you as you went about your day. And so this is just as sensitive as fingerprints, and I would say even more sensitive than them.
Now, what is the law on fingerprints? I mean, if I leave my fingerprints anywhere and somebody decides to take the fingerprint and then use some sort of way of tracking me, is there anything that prevents that?
In Illinois and Texas, there actually is. So in one of the most liberal states in the nation and in one of the most conservative, they have passed laws saying that if a company decides to collect your face print or your fingerprint, they need to get your permission first.
How would the permission, as it stands now, be typically posed to a consumer? Is it a very, very passive opt-in kind of a thing or opt-out kind of thing? Or is it a declarative sentence which says, Google would like to identify your face and do you give permission to send it all over the world?
Well, what you just said is what it should sound like. So, you know, most of the folks listening to this are going to have smartphones, and they know that when an app tries to get some of the most sensitive information you have, which is your geolocation, in other words, the records of everywhere you go, you get this little pop-up. It's very clear. It says, you know, Angry Birds wants to get your location, yes or no. That's what consumers should get. That's what Illinois and Texas law requires. And so that's how it work online. Offline, we think people should get consent in the same way as you'd get consent in any other business relationship. You should be asked for it, and then you should give it. It could be in writing, could be, you know, digitally, could be any number of ways.
One of the principles of the right to privacy, and certainly the principle of the right to free assembly, suggests that one can have a meeting or be with people in a situation where there's an expectation that the government is not watching you. If we fast forward to the future, facial recognition monitoring, that if you've given permission for your face to be recognized or your geolocation to be tracked. Can you ungive that permission? Is there any way to reverse this if, say, you want to be private for a week?
Online, typically, you can give consent or turn off consent to your face being tracked the same way you would your location on your smartphone. You know, you can go onto Google Plus or you can go onto Facebook and say and take away that permission. Let me say one other thing, though. You're saying that, you know, everywhere we go, we're being followed and we don't really have an expectation of privacy about it. That is changing in the government space. There's a question as to whether it'll change in, with respect to companies. And so increasingly, judges are willing to find that in the past, yeah, you know, when you went out, maybe you expected your neighbor or your, you know, the guy who owns the corner store to recognize you, but you didn't expect police officers to be able to track your every movement using technology. And they're starting to say, yes, you do have a right to privacy in public. And that's what we need an awareness of in the commercial consumer space.
So far, no awareness, no guidelines, and the talks have broken down between commercial interests and privacy advocates over facial recognition technology. Alvaro Bedoya is Executive Director of the Center on Privacy and Technology at Georgetown Law. Thanks so much, Alvaro.
Great to be with you.
Terry from Portland, Oregon. We've already lost control of our digital identity. Our faces are all over Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. Really, privacy is over. And what we have to do is learn to conduct ourselves accordingly.
One of you in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I have no concerns about facial recognition technology itself. My concern is with who is using it and under what legal constraints. Consider the NSA eavesdropping without restraint.
Mike Loman from San Diego, California. I don't have a problem with my digital likeness or identity or information being gathered as long as it's being used to keep the world safe and that I'm made aware of it. As long as that is the case, then I have no problem with it. It's a changing world. The definition of privacy is ever-changing, and I think we need to adjust to that and be up to that as possible.
Lawrence, Massachusetts. I have mixed reactions to this. While I can understand a possible need for this in certain specific security situations, I'm cautiously skeptical about having my or anyone's face in a giant data bank that might, if not now, eventually be compromised. We always want to hear from you. Tweet us at The Takeaway or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving. With brain games to calculate baseline scores and build a personalized brain training program, performance can be compared to global averages. Learn more at lumosity.com.